Hey everyone, how are you? I welcome you to yet another episode of my podcast. My name is Marianne and welcome to the journey of Limitless. Today I would like to talk about success. And success is one of those subjects that have been greatly misunderstood, mainly because we've been socialized to associate success with certain physical things that we see. And if you've listened to the last podcast, the last episode that I had here, you'll notice that I spoke a little bit about success, and I am on a journey to try to demystify what success really is and what it isn't. If you look at this, if you listen again to what I spoke about, you realize that I am trying to break some of the thoughts, some of the perceptions and the mindsets we've had about success. We've always thought that success is being able to show or to live what society calls a good life. And a good life would be, you know, you're living in a posh exclusive estate, that you're driving the latest machine, that you get to visit all exotic places, and you have all the money in the bank, and you probably get to interact with who's who in society. But don't you see that there is so much deception in that definition? Because in that definition of a car, a house, traveling, interacting with other people, nowhere does it talk about you. Nowhere in that definition do you come into play. The essence of who you are is not considered. No one here is considering your talent, your gift, your passion. No one here is talking about who you are as a person. No one is talking about the richness of your soul. Nobody is talking about what you have to offer to the society in terms of the kindness, in terms of wisdom, in terms of love. Nobody here is talking about the richness of your soul. Because you see, your soul is everything about you. Your soul is defined as your spirit, will, and emotion. Like, and the mind, and the headquarters of the soul is mind. And nobody is really speaking about you prospering in that area. We are being forced or coerced to look at prosperity or success. Okay, well, let me say this again. I'm going to say this again. We are being forced to look at success from a point of physical prosperity, material prosperity. And again, I repeat and I'll say this. There's nothing wrong with material prosperity. There's nothing wrong with having a good house. There's nothing wrong with driving a great car. There is nothing wrong with having a good bank balance, a decent bank balance. And there's certainly nothing wrong with traveling and going for vacation in all the exotic places you could ever imagine. I reiterate, there is nothing wrong with that. However, the problem comes in when you use that as the yardstick to measure success. You see, even the apostle, the good apostle John said, and he was praying in his book of, is it First John? He said, "Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And John here was talking about the prosperity of the soul. He didn't say, I pray and I wish above all else that you get money in your banks, or that you always have sufficient, or you always have good houses. He didn't pray for that, and he could have prayed for that, and that is awesome and that is great. Because really, who wants to struggle? Who wants to be broke? I can answer you that without blinking my eye. Nobody wants to be broke. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to live a life of struggle, and nobody wants to be mediocre. But however, we cannot again only focus on this person drives a car, so this person is a success. I would go back again and ask that real measure of success, thought about prosperity of the soul. when your mind, your will, your emotion prospers. What is the prosperity of emotion? I think we will talk about prosperity of emotion being when you get to a point where you do not feel happy because of the things that are happening around you. You are not happy because you signed a contract. You're not happy because you had your dream wedding, or you married the girl you've always dreamt of marrying, or because you've taken your family for a vacation. You're not happy because your kids have been sent off to a private school. That is not the essence of your happiness. You are happy. It's an inward job which has nothing to do with external circumstances. It is joy. Because you see, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And against such there is no law. You cannot try to put a law to control joy. Joy is an inside job. Nobody can come and say, hey, you know what? There is a law that prohibits excessive joy. There is no law that can prohibit love. There is no joy that can come to try to regulate love or peace. None of that can be regulated by law. And so therefore, when I talk about joy being an inward job, your emotion prospering means that you have joy, you have peace, you have love in your heart, that you have looked internally into yourself and you have focused into who you are, and you have purpose that you will not be controlled by external circumstances. You have chosen to rise above what is around you, and you have instead chosen to look at what is inside of you, because the greatest battle we'll ever overcome is the battle within us. When we are able to overcome that battle, when you're able to get to the point where you have self-control and you decide, I'm not going to be mad. They expect me to be mad, but I will not be mad. I will exercise self-control. I will practice peace. I will respond with joy and with love and with graciousness. That is a shock to any person that you interact with, because many times we go through so many things and people would expect us to respond in the most natural way, also they say, and the natural way would be an eye for an eye. You know what you did? I did. That's what society has taught us. But then Jesus comes and says, if someone slaps you on this side, you turn the other cheek. Not to mean that you should be walked all over. Not to mean that you now become, you know, a carpet for someone to just come out and do whatever they want to do. No, that's not what this means. This basically means that you've gotten to a point where you realize sometimes vengeance is not really what you need. You actually don't even need to avenge yourself. Many times what we need to do is to move on. That's the best revenge you could ever. And I know many of us have been in situations and circumstances where we've been wronged, we've been hurt, greatly hurt. We've been misrepresented in situation and in spaces, and that caused us to be disenfranchised in one way or the other. And the most natural thing for us was to react and to show this person who was trying to disenfranchise us that, hey, you know what? I can also speak for myself. You know what? I also have the capacity to do ABCD. That's a natural tendency. That's a natural human tendency. But we are taught turning the other cheek would mean you look at that situation and you choose, this is not a battle that I'm going to fight. The greatest battle I'm fighting is a battle for my faith. Yeah, Paul said it very well. Now fight the good fight of faith. That's the only battle that you should engage in. That's the only battle you should spend your energy on. Look at the battles being dragged to your door and ask yourself, is this really worth it? I assure you, 98% of the battles dragged to your door are not worth it. They are not worth your time. They are not worth your effort. They are not worth your emotions. The best you could do is leave it. Ignore it. You don't have to attend to it. Focus on asking yourself, am I becoming the person that I ought to be? Am I representing God enough? Because Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, and in this prayer we say so candidly that let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So are we doing that? You know, are we allowing the will of God to be done in our lives? Are we living out God's will or God's dream for us here on earth? When you look at life from that perspective, you will begin to work on your internal. You'll begin to do the work from, it's an inside job. And you will realize that you don't need to answer every critic. You don't need to fight every battle. You forgive easily when you know that you're on an assignment, when you know that there is a purpose, that there is a plan for you, and your God's plan over you is greater than men's perception of you. And by men, of course, you understand that I mean both gender, male and female, you know. So the work of emotions, like we was talking about what the soul is, mind, will and emotions, and working on your emotions is just deciding not to put a lid on the emotions, you know, not to react, but to be built up, to have conversations that are seasoned with salt, to choose to speak life and not death. That is emotional prosperity. When your mind is prospered, it's when you begin to align and to begin to see things from God's perspective. It's when you look at the situations around you and you realize that you are not defined by these situations that are around you, but then you're defined by what God says and who God says you are. We look at things from God's perspective, and we know that God is never ever stranded, that God is never troubled, that God is never at pains, you know, wondering what to do about certain situations. And we know that as He is, so are we. So if God can never be stranded, then we can never be stranded. If He can never be disenfranchised, then we can never be disenfranchised. If God cannot be frustrated, then we can never be frustrated. If God cannot lack, then we cannot lack. We cannot struggle because He does not struggle. We cannot walk in sickness and disease because He does not walk in sickness and in disease. When we have mentor, when our mind is prospering, it means that we are aligning ourselves with what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, where the Bible really talks about, but be transformed by the daily renewal of your mind. And you know that transformation, the word transform, You when you study it, you realize that it comes from the Greek word which means metamorphosis. And when I think about metamorphosis, I think about the butterfly. Because, I mean, that's it. You know, the butterfly and how it has its cycles from the egg to pupa to larva and then eventually to a butterfly. And you realize in each of these stages of the butterfly, they are all equally important. It's important for it to be an egg, then a pupa, then a larva. And then the beautiful butterfly that just makes our day, that makes us all rejoice and we all admire and think, oh, look at that pretty, pretty butterfly. But before it grew its wings and got all its beautiful markings, there was a time it was a pupa. There was a time it was a larva. And each of these stages is important. And once it moves from the stage of the egg to the pupa, from the pupa to the larva, it can't come back now from the butterfly, again go to the larva. It can't go back. It can only continue with the cycle. And that is the same thing. The more we expose ourselves to the Word of God, our mind is renewed and we begin to evolve. We begin to metamorphosize. We cannot be the same people that we were before. I am not the same person that I was 3 months ago. I'm not the same person I was in January. We are now in November. I'm not the same person that I was in January. 3 or 4 months ago, probably I had a mind or a thought of, oh, I'd like to do a podcast one day, but my mind had not grown to the point of saying, oh, let me actualize that desire. But look, today in November, I'm here speaking to you. Why? Having decided to actualize that which was a dream. And from here, I can go back to unknowing what I have known. I can't go back to undoing the work that the Spirit of God has been doing in my life. So, as I speak about, you know, prosperity of the soul and mind prosperity, look about it from the perspective of your mind being renewed. When your mind is renewed, when your heart is renewed, when you're focused on the inside, when you're focused on the goal, when you're pursuing purpose, let me tell you something. The truth is this: money will follow you. Wealth and prosperity will follow you. A friend of mine told me a few years back, he said to me, you know, Marianne, it's a divine universal principle that money follows purpose. And I know at the point when I had that, I didn't really take it very seriously, because I wondered, what could you possibly mean? But over time, I've come to just see how true this is. That for sure, money follows purpose. And if we focus on following God and following purpose, we will be walking in success. That is it. That is it. That is a real, authentic, raw meaning of success. Being who you are, walking in the fullness of who you really are. So, I'm glad to be able to talk about this with you. And to summarize this before I go, success is walking in the fullness of who God has called you to be. And as you walk in the fullness of who God has called you to be, as you focus on the inside other than the outside, then the outside will follow. It's true. Might not make sense to you right now, but some few months down the line, an year probably, or some years down the line, some weeks down the line, it will make sense. And I pray that you get to a point where you realize there's so much more to life than just trying to get money, trying to get the next car, trying to get the next house, trying to get into the newest school for your children, trying to get married, trying to get children, all the things that we've been socialized to think are markers of success. I want to let you know, they are not necessarily markers of success. Living a rich, fulfilling life is a true mark of success. And as you show, as you manifest that success, then there's favor that follows you. There's money that follows you. There's wealth, there's prosperity that follows you. But more than that, what you'll have built over the years is a legacy. And that is what you want. At the end of the day, all you'll ever be remembered for in this earth is your legacy. Wow. So that is it for today. I trust you've had a good time. I trust you've been blessed. And that you will begin to look at this from a different perspective. Let's walk on the journey of getting the limits off. Let us rise and be limitless in everything we do. Once again, this is Marianne. Thank you for listening to this podcast. God bless you. Bye-bye.